Proverbs chapter number 2. We'll start there in the first verse. It's not very long. We'll just read all of it. The Bible says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, he is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity that you give us to come to your house. And Lord, I pray that you guide my words tonight. Lord, I really want to say exactly what you'd have me to say tonight, and help me to be a challenge to the folks here. And if nothing else, it's a reminder of the importance of your word and just following what it says. And God, I pray that you'd just work on my heart through this and help me there again to just say what I ought to, nothing I shouldn't. Help our pastor as he's away. Pray that you'd be with him, bless him. Thank you for your love for us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I do some construction. Most people know I do some construction stuff, and I like building things, whether it's out of wood as a building or metal. I like putting metal together. I think metal is a really neat thing to work with because, you know, what metal, you can put it together and cut it apart and put it back together and cut it apart, and it's I enjoy doing those type of things. But there's a lot of things that I do that require a pattern. And if not a pattern, perhaps instructions, okay? I just installed a bathtub the other day, or Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday. Well, it was Monday night. I worked late Monday night, and I was putting in a bathtub and shower surround, and I've probably done 15, 20 of them. But every time, I still get out the instructions because I don't do them often enough that, you know, it's like natural. Okay, so I still get out the instructions, and I still have to follow the instructions. And I look at the pictures, praise God for pictures, and sometimes I don't read it. You know, I almost never read the instructions the first time. I look at the pictures, and if the pictures don't work, I'll go back and read the instructions. But a lot of times you can get by with the pictures, and I like pictures, and I still like pictures. I'd rather read a book that's got pictures in it than one that doesn't. And my wife gets not upset, but she just laughs at me because, you know, you can only read a children's book, the same children's book, so many times before, as an adult, it's really boredom. And but you can tell amazing stories with the same group of pictures. So my kids will bring me a book and they'll say, "Daddy, can you read this?" And so I'll tell the story that's not in the book, but just using the pictures that's there. And but I still, I like instructions. Because instructions, if we never looked at instructions and if we never read instructions, we would be actually very foolish. Because the thing is somebody spent the time to build that already. Somebody spent the time to already put that together. They know how to do it. Okay, a repair manual for a car, although that's as much online as anything anymore, is done by somebody that has already been there, has already done it. I'm against most things internet. I'm against most things social media or anything like that. But there are some things online. You know, you can almost find out how to do almost anything on YouTube. You realize that? I mean, honestly, if you have a question on, I was working on a concrete saw the other day. I couldn't get it to run, and I was wondering how to tune the carburetor. And you know what I did? I looked it up. And somebody was there that had already done it and had done it a lot of times, was very successful at that. So I was able to watch what they did and duplicate it, okay? And tonight I want to talk about the guide, And we all use guides. You've got guides to everything. We've got dummies, you know, the dummy's guide to almost anything that you want to talk about, all right? I've got guides in my house of several different things. I've got wiring guides. I've got drywall guides. I've got concrete guides. And it's just like, Brother Chad, you know, some people ask me, you know, how did you learn how to do something? You know, I've never been a, you know, you don't ever learn honestly anything by doing it yourself unless you make a mistake. Okay, now think about that. Somebody's always showed you. No, ladies, you don't just start throwing stuff together and a wonderful batch of cookies comes out. You don't. You follow. Now, you may follow a recipe and then tweak it a little bit, but you still, you've got your recipe that you follow. Okay, that's your guide. That tells you the next step. Okay, I've done a, preached a message once about leaving out ingredients. And, you know, you can make a bread recipe and you or you can make chocolate chip cookies, but if you leave out the chocolate chips, they are no longer chocolate chip cookies, okay? So you have to follow the guide. Proverbs tells us, in Proverbs chapter 2, if you look at the first two words of Proverbs chapter 2, this is written to a son, okay? It says, my son. And then it gives us a list of instructions here. But I wanted to jump down, if you would, to verse number 12. Jump down to verse number 12. We're going to read these last few verses, and I want to challenge you tonight about the guide. The guide. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. Not a good person. Okay? Not somebody that we ought to be hanging out with. All right? Who leave the paths of uprightness. Now, I think this is important. You know, the most dangerous people are Christians that have left. And I'm not downing anybody, okay? Because, and I'm not talking about just somebody that's somewhat away from the will of God. I don't think that God would call them an evil person. And I'll show you what I'm talking about here. But I think some of the most dangerous people are the people that know the truth and leave the truth. Okay? They know the truth and they leave the truth. And I want to caution you, I want especially young people tonight about that. The Bible says, verse 13, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Now that's something when you can say that somebody rejoices in not just doing wrong, but doing evil. There's a difference in the Bible between wrong and evil. Okay, evil is you enjoy, it's a sick, almost a sick satisfaction in doing something wrong. Okay? This is not a healthy person in their mind. Okay? This evil man who rejoiced to do evil, verse 14, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. Verse 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. Verse 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. You know what I think of covenant? When I think of a covenant, I think of a promise. I think of, when I read that verse, honestly, I think of perhaps even a person, and it doesn't matter their age at this point, but a person that has promised God something and then has walked away from it. Okay? Now, look what this strange woman, remember, we can go to Proverbs chapter 7, we can go to several chapters in Proverbs and read about the evil man and the strange woman. Young ladies, an evil man is never one that you would want to be, because they can say the right things. The Bible teaches us that. They can say all the right things, but their heart is evil. Young men, the strange woman can flatter. Look here in verse 16. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. She'll say all the right things. Okay? Look at the result of her life, though. Verse number 18. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. You know, listen, folks. There's not a whole lot of things the Bible says that you cannot come back from. But strange woman, young men, is something that the Bible says you cannot come back from. Guys, men, a strange woman is something you cannot come back. You will not fully recover from that. Young men, young ladies, I believe an evil man is somebody that you will not fully ever recover from. There's a lot of things that's under the blood, and God forgives and God washes away, and you can put it in your past and you can forget about it. But you do the wrong thing, and Pastor talks about it all the time, young people. You mess up in who you marry, okay? And you're messed up for a long time, okay? So I'm not going to talk about that, though, tonight. What I want to talk about is the guide. The guide. When we went to Arizona, we went whitewater rafting. How many's ever been on any kind of like whitewater rafting or canoe, something like that, all right? This is my first time I'd ever been whitewater rafting, okay? This is my first time I've ever really done anything that I can think of where I actually had a guide, okay? As far as a human being guide that takes me on a trip type of guide. Besides, you know, like a museum or anything like that. But I wouldn't really consider that a guide as far as what I'm about to talk about. Okay? So we had three guides. We split up our youth group into three different boats. Okay? They're those inflatable whitewater rafting boats. All right? We had one. His name was Garrett. All right? How many rode with Garrett? You can raise your hand. Okay? Yeah, there you go. Well, nobody rode with Garrett. He was by himself. We had Garrett. And we had Emmett. How many rode with Emmett? All right, a few of you. And then my guide, his name was Eric. All right, so Eric and Emmett and Garrett. Now, I don't know where they got these three guides at, but every one of them looked like they come from, like, the Peace Corps, okay? And I'm dead serious. They all had long hair. They all talked like they were from straight out of California, okay? And they were nice guys. Super nice guys, but they were a little different, okay? They were definitely tree huggers or something along those lines, okay? I'm not kidding. They lived in shacks, like these little shacks behind the place, and they would go there and stay all summer, and they would go taking these tours. So we had these guides, and the young people kind of gave reference to it, and they gave their testimonies a little bit, and each one of them, they were a little different in their personality, except for the fact they all kind of acted like they were from California, okay? And they were nice guys. And so we would go out and we were in, you know, we would be going through these whitewater rapids and stuff like that. And it was a lot of fun. Now, it was expensive. So I know why they stayed there, because they made a killing, okay, as a guy. They made a lot of money doing this. And but they were good, and they, you know, we had fun. But I got thinking, when we got back from that trip, I got thinking a lot about those guides. Because in a lot of ways, they represent the guides that we have in our lives, especially as young people, the guides that we have. And I wrote a few things down to just mention some things that the Lord laid on my heart about, you know, after watching these guides. And the first one is, you know, these guides had already been over this river. These guides had already been over that river. And I want to help everyone, because this can apply with your relationship to your pastor, young people, your relationship to your mom and dad. This can apply to a lot of different areas. But you know, the guide had already been over that river. This wasn't his first, when we all piled in with Eric, he didn't say, "I just want to let you guys know, I've never been here before. I have no clue what we're getting into. So just hang on tight, and we'll try to make it through." That would not be very reassuring to come from the guide that's supposed to be knowing where you're going, okay? You guys didn't have guides on your fishing trip, did you? Did you wish you had some? Possibly. at least directions how to get out of the middle of the lake. But a guide, you know why people go on paid hunts? Is because the guide should know where he's going. The guide should know where the tree stands are that you can get up in the tree. The guide should have pictures of the animals that you have already, you know, you're going. That's why we pay them the money, right? And that's what the guide is for. So it would be disconcerting if Eric said, you know, sorry, you know, this is my first week here. I've never been on this part of the river before. And, you know, hope all goes well, okay? So that's not very, you know, exciting. Dalton just told me, Brother Val, that you and Miss Deborah underground? Yes. Okay, I mean, I don't think that they just let random people go underground in the mine and just wander around for tours. No, you have to have somebody that's going to take you, all right? What if your headlight goes out? That would be a bad deal, okay? That would not be good because you cannot see. So guides are important. And I thought about that guide. I thought, you know, he'd already been over the river. He knew in every rapid exactly what to do. He knew. You know, wouldn't it be foolish for me as a novice? I've never even been whitewater rafting, let alone on that part of the river. Wouldn't it have been foolish for me to say, I don't really like the guy. I mean, he's got long hair and he talks weird. I'm not going to listen to him. That would have been extremely foolish on my part. Because why? Because the guy had already been over the river. And you know, in another sense, the guy doesn't need to go over that river again. You know, young people, your parents, there's a lot of things your parents do for you that they don't have to do because they've already done it. They don't have to do that for you, but they do because they care about you. They do because they love you. You know, our pastor, he's already, I don't think that, you know, he has to necessarily do everything that he does to stay where he's at spiritually. I think a lot of the stuff that our pastor does, he does to help us as the people that are in the boat make it. Okay? And so the guide's already been over the river already. One of the things I liked about our guides, and I only had one guide with me, but the other young people said something, but you know, the guides were willing to share experiences. You know, I think that's important as a guide, that you share experiences. And this is for parents and older folks. You know, I like it when older folks share experiences. There's a lot to be learned, young people, in having somebody that, you know, there's a lot to be learned in having somebody share their life experiences with you. You know why? Because that means that they're sharing something that may be ahead of you, okay? And you need to listen to them. A lot of times, and I'll repeat some of the things I say tonight, but when we would get ready to go into a rapid, our guide would say, now you need to do this, because this is what the rapid does. You know how he knew that's what the rapid did? Is because he'd already been there. He'd already done that. He had already seen all of that. There was no obligation. It's not like he did it for the thrill of it, okay? He did it, he did it because he got paid for it, obviously, but he did it, all right? And we need to listen to our guides, share the experiences. I like talking to our guide about different things. He had come from a different place, and he would tell us about some different natural features as we'd go down the river. You know, that was neat. It was informative. And I asked him about some of his past and where he came from and stuff like that. You know, I think it's wise. Listen, I hate to say this is a big boat, although people do call it Noah's Ark sometimes. It's really long and narrow. But listen, we're all in this together. You know, it would be foolish for us to be like, well, that's not, they don't know what they're talking about. You young people, you'd be surprised what these older folks know what they're talking about. Do you realize, young people, that every one of these older folks in here knew what it was like to be your age at one time? And so many times in our life, we just go through life without ever, you know, we've got this big crisis in front of us. We've got this rapid ahead of us, if you will. But so many times, we're just like, okay, we got to handle this. Instead of turning around to the back and saying, hey, what's the best way to go through this? What's the best way to get through this? You know, I'm a fairly young married couple, but there's a lot of older married couples in here. And if I'm...
if I have a question, wouldn't it be foolish of me to go to somebody that has the same experience level as I do? Okay, me and Dalton are sitting in the front of our whitewater raft, and I said, Lino, look over and say, hey, Dalton, there's a big rapid coming up. What do you think we should do? We've got the same experience on this river. It would be the same thing. I mean, he could look at, I mean, I'm his elder. I'm the leader of this trip. Brother Chad, what do you think we should do? Well, based on my experience, I think, no, that would be foolish. We've got the same experience, okay? Why wouldn't it be wiser to look back and say, hey, Eric, what's this one going to be like? How's this one going to affect us? Okay, they've been over the river. They've shared. They've had these experiences, and I think it's wise as Christians to go to older folks. Young people, go to older folks. Older folks, be willing to share things. Okay, be willing to share things. Celebrate victories. Our guide, I don't know about the other guides. Our guide had a weird way of celebrating victories. All right, he would do a paddle high five. So we'd go through a rapid, but all right, dudes, paddle high five. And we'd all have to stick our paddles up in the air, all right? That's kind of ridiculous. But you know what he was doing? He was saying, hey, you guys did a good job. Hey, you guys did good on that. And he would encourage us. He would yell at us. There was a couple times he yelled at us, okay? Do you know why he yelled at us? Listen to me, and this will help you. You know why Pastor stands up here sometimes? And if you've been around Pastor very long, I've grown up here my whole life. And everyone in here that has grown up, he gets this look on his face that you can tell that he's really upset. You know, he doesn't like what he's about to say. He takes it very serious, all right? And I can't do it. I'm not a pastor, all right? But young people, you know that look your mom and dad gets, that it's not just you are in trouble. It's in you are in so much trouble, okay? And, you know, yeah, our guide yelled at us. But you know why our guide was yelling at us? Is because he knew if we didn't give 110% effort as we were getting ready to go into that next rapid, that we'd have a very good chance, listen, of capsizing. Of capsizing. It's not that in life you don't get wet. You know what a lot of times young people, your parents are trying to do? Yeah, you're going to get wet. Our pastor tries to keep things afloat sometimes. And it's foolish when we don't listen. Well, he shouldn't yell at me. Okay, listen, I'm the leader of this trip. Bless God, Eric, I'm the boss here. They don't have to listen to you. I'm in charge in this. If I'm in charge of an area of the church, it would be foolish of me to be like, yes, but Pastor, you don't understand. I'm in charge in this area. You know why? Because he has the oversight. He sees all. You know where the guide sat? He sat in the back of the boat. You know why he could sit in the back of the boat? Because he could see everything. I couldn't see, I think Kaylin was sitting behind me, and Max was sitting behind her. I couldn't see what Max and Kaylin were doing, but the guide could. I couldn't see what Gracie was doing. She was sitting to the back behind Dalton. I couldn't see what she was doing. But you know, the guide could. And you know that our pastor and young people, your parents, you always see sometimes is your paddle and the little bit that's going to hit you in the face. That's all we see sometimes. But you know what the guide sees back here? He sees the whole picture. I don't know if you notice, when we showed the pictures, they have the tourist trap camera person that stands at the best spot and they take the pictures and then charge you $45 for 5 pictures. They have that person. But the last person on the biggest rapid, I should probably have put it back on the kiosk and you could have looked at it afterwards. The last person that you saw in every one of those pictures was the guide. Everyone else had ducked or thrown their paddles up or whatever they decided to do. But you know who's... Listen, as they went through the rapid, do you know who was still sitting upright and watching what was going on? The guide was. he was the last one, and he was sitting straight up, and he had his paddle. I mean, it was like a, you know, I don't know. It's like something, a really cool picture of like, yeah, this is me, you know. I'm in the front of the boat like, Dalton, save me, you know. But our guide, he's just as calm as can be, okay. And he watched it out the whole time as that boat went through that rapid. You know, people, your parents, whether you think so or not, they're watching. God's given them an extra special ability to see things, okay. But the guide's been over the river already. Secondly, and I'll hasten, the guide uses the calm times to prepare for the rough times. The guide uses the calm times to prepare for the rough times. It took, I don't remember, 3 or 4 hours for that trip, and we were on like 7 miles of water. And the first few miles, like the first 3 or 4 miles, was ridiculous, okay? I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. We paid, you know, whatever, $50 a person, and this is all we have, okay? And, you know, we'd be going across and be like, all right, guys, there's a little wave train coming up. And it'd be like this little ripple. I'd kind of look back and I'm like, really? This is whitewater rafting, okay? My bathtub has more water flow than this, okay? You know, it's just like, this is not what I paid a lot of money for, okay? And so we'd be, you know, we're going along. But you know what he did during that whole time? Is he'd be like, all right, we're going to work on some stuff. And we need to, the two guys in the front, you guys are going to set the pace. So when I tell you two paddles forward, you just paddle twice. That's all you got to do, okay? And two paddles forward. And we would do that for like an hour. That's all we did, okay? You know, me and Dalton are kind of looking at each other and, you know, all right, one paddle backwards. So we're paddling backwards. And he'd tell us, you know what he did? He told us exactly how to do it. He told us how to brace ourselves in the boat, okay? Everything he did, he was explaining to us exactly how to do it. And so we'd be falling behind. We were the last boat in our procession. We'd be falling behind and be like, all right, we need to catch up a little bit. Let's give it 6 good paddles. And he would help us. But you know what he was watching for? Not only was he helping us work together as a cohesive team, but he was seeing where are the weak spots? Where are the strong spots? How can I help these young people do this? We had a group of teenagers, but there was one of the boats had almost all were probably over 50. Okay? They were all of them over 50. And they were doing the same thing we were doing. Okay, so it's not that you can't learn anything. I think that would be foolish there again. Well, I'm older than the guide, so I don't have to listen to the guide. Okay, my position is higher than the guide, so I don't have to listen to the guide. All right, and that's foolish. But our guides took the calm times to prepare for the rough times. Young people, listen to me. Obedience is important. You know, God doesn't give a whole lot of commands for young people. If you think about this, God doesn't command young people, look at me, all you children, there you go. Do you know that God just wants you to obey mom and dad? That's pretty easy, right? God just wants you to obey mom and dad. Teenagers, you know, God kind of just wants you to obey mom and dad. But they just don't see it the way I see it. Exactly. They see it better than you see it. You know, hey, 6, 7, 8-year-olds? Sorry, I'm getting into Master's Club. We're getting ready, geared up for Master's Club. I'm excited about it. But you know that God wants you to obey your mom and dad? And you know God doesn't just want you to obey your mom and dad. God wants you to obey your mom and dad immediately. We didn't sit there at the front of the whitewater raft thing, and we have our paddles ready, and the guide says, all right, 3 strokes forward. Me and Dalton look at each other. Hey, you ready yet? All right, let's do it. 1, 2, 3. No, you know what we did? You obey right away. Immediately. There shouldn't be, let young people listen to me. Your mom and dad shouldn't be telling you two or three times in a row, hey, can you clean the floor up for me, please? No, it's right away. Immediately, yes, ma'am. It's time for supper. Everybody come to the supper table. You're still there collaring. I'm glad you're collaring a picture for your dad. But there's a verse, something about, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice, all right? Something along those lines. Listen, your mom and dad want you to obey right away. If we wouldn't have obeyed our guide immediately, young people, when our guide said to do something, when he said to do something, he didn't mean for us to wait 5 minutes. If we waited 5 minutes, we would have capsized our boat. Okay? When your mom and dad says you need to get out of the street, okay, they may know something that you don't know, aka a Mack truck coming down the road. Okay? And you know how you get to where you can obey immediately on the big things? Is you obey immediately on the little bitty things. When your mom and dad say, hey, you need to go brush your teeth and get ready for bed, you know what you need to do? Right away, go brush your teeth and get ready for bed. Because if you don't obey when you're brushing your teeth, how are you going to be disciplined enough to obey when there's something that could cost you your life? Listen to me. I'm helping you, kids. You know why Brother Chad's up here telling you this? Because I love you. You know why your mom and dad tell you that you need to obey right away and sometimes you get a spanking because you don't obey right away? Is because your mom and dad have the foresight to know that there's a rapid that's coming. And if you don't learn to obey right away right now, you won't obey right away later. And parents, if we don't teach our children to obey right away right now, and they're sitting in church and God tells them to do something, and they decide, I'll wait 5 years, how are we teaching them to live a successful Christian life? And how, let's flip the coin. If God tells me to do something and I sit over there by my son and God speaks to my heart and I'm not willing to come forward and do business with God right away, how am I teaching my son you need to obey God right away? Okay? Listen, folks, there's rapids coming in. I don't care if you're 8, 18, or 80. We still are on a river and you still got rapids coming. And it's important that not just as children, not just as teenagers. Teenagers, guys, listen, I know you're big and strong, and you know some of you are probably bigger than your dads and stronger than your dads. But today when my dad told me, hey, Chad, I think you forgot to put the coupler on. And I said, you're right, I did. I didn't say, no, it's fine. That could have cost me a lot of time and frustration. Listen, just learn to obey right away. You're not always smarter than what your parents are. Okay? In fact, most of the time you're not. You know, my dad's seen so many more things than I've seen. It's not even funny. And it would be foolish for me not to listen to my dad. Okay? That would be foolish. So young people, learn to obey right away. Because there were rapids that we were in that our guide, halfway through, we'd be paddling forward, and he'd be like, all right, I need two good paddles forward. And we'd be paddling forward, and then he'd said, I need a back paddle. And we had to spin the raft in order to get it through the rapid. If you're not listening and you're not obeying right away, young people, you're going to fail. Okay? Learn to obey right away. Learn to obey without question. You know, our culture today is they teach you to question everything. Okay, I don't know what the term is. It's not a catchphrase, but a statement that they want everyone to believe. Question everything. Okay? Stop breathing and question oxygen. Until you figure out how oxygen works, don't breathe anymore. No, thank you. I'll just keep breathing and then I'll figure that out later. All right? But they do. They want you to question everything. We didn't have a conversation up there in the front while we're going through these rapids. Hey, Dalton, what do you think? Do you think we ought to paddle or not? Eric, why do we need to paddle halfway through? Is that really important? I'm tired. I'm wore out. No, you just do it. Okay? You just do it. All right, thirdly, the guide, first of all, the guide's already been over the river. Secondly, he uses the calm times to prepare for the rough times. All right, you know our pastor does that. He just got done preaching a whole series on Sunday morning and Sunday school on marriages. 5 Sunday morning services on marriage. You know what? We're getting ready to go into the... Last Sunday was our first Sunday of the spring program, or fall program, sorry. Last Sunday was the first Sunday. You know, he takes those times when it's quiet, and he prepares the church for when it's busy. Okay? Young people, you think life's hard as a, you know, 7th, 8th, 10th grader. You have no idea what's in front of you. You don't. And you know what your mom and dad do? They take these times and they prepare you for something that's coming up ahead. They do. 5-year-olds, you know what your mom and dad do? They prepare you for something that's coming. Okay? It's not going to be tomorrow. And it's not going to be in the next 5 years, perhaps. But they're still preparing you for something that's coming. All right? Thirdly, the guide watches. The guide watches. Go to Psalms chapter 32. I'm going to show you this verse, and then we'll go to John chapter 10. Just, I don't know. I know I'm not using maybe a ton of Bible verses, but I think it's just, Lord kind of spoke to me for just practical truths here. Psalms chapter 32, verse number 8. Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Look at this next statement. I will guide thee with mine eye. What does it mean to guide with your eye? Not like you know, pop it out and say, here, go this way. All right? No, you know what it means? It means that the guide sees something, and based on what he sees, he gives command to guide. Okay? That's what it basically means. I'm going to guide you with my eye. I'm going to look ahead and see what you can't see. We've played a game in Master's Club before we've played 2 different games. One, they've been blindfolded, okay? And one person has to tell the other person, it's a race basically, one person has to tell the blindfolded person how to get to the finish line. And the only way that they can win is for the blindfolded person to explicitly listen to the person that can see. The person that can see can't run the race. Listen, young people, your mom and dad have already done this part of their life. But they can see a lot of things that you can't see. Okay? And we played another game. I draw a map. We have a square. It's divided into sections. And I have a map. Okay? And I know the way through this. But the young people don't know the way through it. And so they start in a square, and they'll take one step. And as long as I don't say stop, they're on the right track. And they'll take another step to another square. And as soon as they step on a wrong square, they're out. Well, Brother Chad, that doesn't sound very fair, because you're the only one that knows. Yeah, but do you know who else is watching? All the other kids. And if they're good, and if they'll pay attention, they'll figure out how to get through this maze by watching and learning from other people's mistakes, okay? And this guiding with his eye. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. I love this story. There's some things in life I would like to do just so I can understand maybe the Bible a little bit better. And I'm not quite committed to raising sheep yet. But I would go like to talk to an actual legitimate shepherd sometime. And maybe spend a day or two with him just to watch the sheep. And then be done with it. I don't want sheep. All right. Bible said, John chapter number 10. Look at verse number 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, I think this is a good illustration of kind of what I'm talking about tonight. You know, the shepherd, we can go to Psalms chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know what the shepherd does? Young people, listen to me. The shepherd cares for those sheep. He cares for them. When one gets hurt, who do you think helps that sheep get better? The shepherd does. Not one of the other sheep. Right? It's not one of the other sheep. Why are young people that are, young people, listen to me. Why are young people that are getting into trouble going to other young people for help? Why don't you go back to your parents? Yes, sir. Why don't you go back to your pastor that loves you, that stayed up at night, sometimes watching over you? No, I'm going to go to somebody. Some of the kids on our bus, I love their hearts, but they make new friends every week. And they've never met them. Think about that. They make new friends on social or anything like that, on video games now. They make new friends, and they'll talk about this friend. It's not even their real name. They don't know their real name. They don't even know what that person looks like, but it's their new best friend. Why do we go for those people for counsel when the shepherd, the guide that has been watching over us this whole time, is still your best friend? You know who would have pulled me out of the water? I'm just saying, if I would have fallen in the water, do you know who would have pulled me out of the water? The guide. Now, they told everybody how to do it, and I don't know, I should have done it. This is what peer pressure will do to you. At the end, we got down to the calm part. At the end, he's like, all right, you guys want to go swimming? I'm like, no, not really. I mean, I'm soaking wet already. Why would I want to go jump in the water? He's like, if you guys want to go swimming. Now, the word swimming was greatly exaggerated. I will say that. I'm like, no, I don't want to. So all the teenagers, they start jumping in the water. I'm like, what are you guys doing? There's a boat for a reason, all right? We stay in the boat, okay? And then I'm like, come on, Brother Chad, let's do it. See, this is what gets you into trouble. All right, I'll do it. So you jump in, all right? And the water's like 50-some degrees. It's like, oh. And then they're like, okay, now you got to get back in the boat. Now, jumping out was a whole lot easier than getting back in. I'm just going to say, okay? It was a whole lot easier. And you think about this, but you know what? It's hard. Some of the guys got back in the boats by themselves. It's hard. It's hard to do. Okay? But you know who gets you back in the water, back in the boat? Is the guy that says, yeah, you can go if you want, but I'm staying. You know, I didn't see any one of those three guys jump in the water. None of them. Like, you can do it if you want, but I'm staying right here. And you know who helped get people back in the boat? The ones that were still in the boat. Okay? The ones that were still in the boat. Max is with me. He got his foot. Did you get your foot caught in a rock? On a rock or something? He's going down the course. You know, you can't see any of the rocks. They're all underwater. So we're all hanging on to the sides of these rafts. That's why I said the swimming thing was overrated. Nobody let go of the raft. Everybody's still hanging on to the raft. And we're floating down the Rio Grande, you know, hanging onto these rafts. And all of a sudden I hear Max, oh! Just like that, yeah, except louder. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, I hit a rock. And, you know, he's dragged along the bottom of the river. And, you know, but he couldn't help, as being in the water, he couldn't really help me get back in the boat. Okay? And we got to be careful about going to our peers for help like that. Okay? I think that's dangerous. The good shepherd, he gave his life for the sheep. I believe, I really do, those guides were trained if anything really bad happened to act on instinct. And you know what their instinct was? We got to save those people. That's their instinct. Young people, do you know the instinct of your parents? They want to help you. They do. None of your parents are against you. I promise you that. You know your pastor that stands up here, and he may lift his voice, and he may get that expression on his face. But you know why he does it is because he loves you. And he knows that there's something coming that's going to rock your boat. And if you don't listen, you could very well end up in the river. Okay? Let's listen to our guides. Let's listen to our guides. I've got guides. And it's foolish if I don't listen to my guides. Okay? Young people, obey. Learn to obey right away. It's important. And you know what? Let me just throw this in there. Stay in the boat. Swimming's not all it's cut up to be. All right? Stay in the boat. Listen to your guide. And you know who that'll keep you from? Listen. Going back to Proverbs, why did that lady become known as a strange woman? Why did that man become known as an evil man? Because he knew better than the guide. She forsook the guide of her youth and forgot the covenant of her God. Okay? Let's listen to our guides. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I pray that you help all of us. Lord, I need this just as much as a five-year-old. Lord, sometimes it's easy to think we know ourselves and our pride gets in the way. And Lord, I pray that I would humble myself just to listen to my guides. And Lord, help these young people. Help them to do what they ought. Help them to know that the shepherd loves them. The shepherd will give his life for the sheep. Lord, the shepherd leads them beside the still waters. He takes them beside the green grass. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to trust our guides, trust the shepherds. And Lord, I pray that you'd help all of us in that. Thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for loving us and caring for us and fixing us when we're hurt. Thank you for that, Father. And I pray that I would just be a good follower of you. And help us tonight in Jesus' name.